Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast, an exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. We are on episode number
96.
We're doing great. Thank you so much for joining us for 96 episodes.
Oh my God, 96.
I know. Wow. We are on chapter 11, text number 55, but a quick recap of 54 purport and the last episode.
Okay. All right. I got this. I'm going to like kind of read through it. You can add whatever you like, Shyamali.
Nice.
Okay. So on 54, Krishna is basically saying that he can only be understood by undivided devotional service, not by speculation, not by academic methods. It's only through undivided devotional service. Right. He's also saying that there's two things that are required in order to understand him. Mm. Following, well, this is kind of Prabhupada speaking, but
right.
Following Vedic regulative principles. So like following the rules and regulations.
Right.
But as Shyamali said, it also needs to be with love, right? Because the rules without the love don't create that deeper relationship.
Right.
And like you said, it's also a good rule for a recipe for any relationship in this world. You can't say, I love you without actually following some rules of friendship, rules of partnership, of commitment, whatever.
Yep. Yes. And then the other thing that Prabhupada indicates is helpful for understanding Krishna is performing penances, such as fasting on Ekadashis or on Janmashtami, which is the day Krishna was born. Prabhupada also goes on to say that charity should be given to devotees spreading Krishna consciousness. So so if you are in a grihastha family, like grihastha household, so a family, and you have the capacity to donate, it's wonderful to donate to devotees who are trying to spread Krishna's name.
Right. Mm. And side note, I think it's so cool that Rupa Goswami talked about Lord Chaitanya as a because he was a Krishna consciousness is a benediction to humanity. So talking about charity, Lord Chaitanya was the most munificent man of charity because love of Krishna is so difficult to achieve and he gave it out so freely.
Aw, that's really sweet.
Munificent.
Yes.
That's a great word. I love that.
Also, Prabhupada also talks about how temple worship is essential for beginners in devotional service to cultivate respect and devotion towards Krishna.
Right.
And I think the reason why it says for beginners is because ultimately what you want to be able to do is see Krishna in everyone and in everything and show that level of respect and honor in every situation you're in.
Right.
But at the beginning, going to the temple does help us kind of develop that relationship and that respect towards Krishna.
Yeah, right. I think that's really important. It also is like, it's an activity that we do physically to also like see the deities. And there's like a different level of love and like relationship when you do that.
Yeah. What else?
I think it's interesting here how we had talked about Krishna's personal forms, the two-handed form and the four-handed form. And Prabhupada mentions how they're just totally completely different from the universal form that was shown to Arjuna because the four-handed form of Narayan and the two-handed form of Krishna are eternal and transcendental, whereas the universal form that was shown to Arjuna is temporary. And we forget that. We think of the universal form as this grand thing, but it's still temporary. It's within this material universal realm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true.
But Krishna can flick it on and off whenever he wants.
Yeah, of course.
He can eternally do whatever he wants.
He can do his body, his choice. He can do whatever he wants.
Absolutely.
Yeah, also Prabhupada goes on to say that the universal form was shown to validate Krishna's divinity and also to deter for false incarnations, right?
So what question do we ask, ladies, when someone's like, I'm God?
Show us your universal form.
Boom. Yeah. Caught red-handed.
Exactly. And if you can't do that, then you ain't no God, sir.
I like that.
That's funny. Cute.
Yeah.
And I like how it just reminded the four-handed forms and other forms mentioned in Vedic literature. They're all emanations from the original two-handed Krishna. That's the source of everything.
Mm. Yeah. And then kind of to culminate all the thoughts, it says, devotees are most attracted to Krishna's two-handed form as it embodies his original and supreme personality, distinct from the universal form meant for non-devotees.
Right. Mm. Right. Because as we said, this two-armed form is the one you can actually have a relationship with.
Yeah. And so that's kind of the summary of text 54. We went in such a sort of scholarly way because it's a very long purport and we wanted to give you like kind of all the facts that Prabhupada wanted us to know about.
Yeah. And I love how he just recaps in the most simple way. The original is the Krishna form. The Krishna form.
Yeah.
I love that.
And just in the last episode, like Arjuna saw Krishna in his normal form again, in his beautiful human-like form. Mm-hmm. And now he is less overwhelmed. He is composed in mind, yes, and he's restored to his original nature.
That was the pivotal mm-hmm. moment mm-hmm. up yep. until now. Has Arjuna been in an anxiety attack up until now? I mean, I guess he's traversed many different emotions.
There was a lot of emotions.
A lot of emotions. But the first time he said, I have returned to my original state.
Yes, that was big. That was big. And another thing that was important from the last episode is that Krishna really emphasized that this form was not shown to anyone else except for Arjuna.
Yes.
This is very important.
Yeah. Even the demigods are always so eager to want to see it. You think of demigods as such elevated personalities, but even them are yearning to see this two-armed form that we get to so luckily access in this path of bhakti.
Yeah. We're very lucky.
Very, very lucky. Mm. All right, please, ladies, the invocation.
Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana
Shalakaya
Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. Whoa, that was cool.
We changed things up.
That was great. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I was like,
it was a little different.
A little flair that we just decided to throw in there.
All right, ladies, we are on the very last verse of chapter 11.
Which is?
Exciting.
Text 55.
Wow.
Priyadarshini.
Let me turn the pages.
Whenever she's ready. It's cool. It's not like we're all waiting for her. It's fine.
All right. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contamination of furtive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me.
Ooh, one more time.
That's so sweet.
I love this.
My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me.
Ooh, I love this.
So sweet.
Let's go like line by line, right?
Okay.
My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, we talked about this loving devotional service, free mm-hmm. from contaminations of fruitive activities.
So fruitive activities, how would you define that?
Oh, we talked about this a lot earlier mm-hmm. in this book, right? It's like all of the things that we do to achieve some sort of result.
So yeah, because what are fruits? Fruits of the trees are like the results, the most precious mm-hmm. part. So it's like whenever I put in hard work, I think of all of whatever I get back as this is mine. This is my doing, yep. my effort.
The
I'm
money,
the controller.
The promotions, yeah.
Yeah. Versus like you do your work, but being detached from the results.
Yep. And then mental speculation, free from mental speculation as well.
What is that?
It's like not having doubts, not speculating about who God is.
Right. Well, I think it's natural to have doubts and you seek answers, but not pretending that we have all the answers and just making them up and speculating. Mm.
Yeah. I think like a big speculation that somebody can say is like, well, I am God.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or, just speculation sort of means kind of making up things.
Right. Yeah. Cause like
to almost benefit you or the way you think, but it doesn't align with the scriptures.
Yeah.
Or,
it's like a whimsical way of doing things, right? It's not focusing on what is written in the important text, not listening to what Krishna is actually saying, doing things from like this mood of like whimsicality.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think like a simple example could also be like, you, as a friend, you might be like really tired, so you're like talking less. And my mental speculation could be like, oh, she doesn't like me anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, just kind of making things that are not said
factually.
Right. It's like if you live your life full of mental speculation, it's actually really harmful in so many ways. And especially when it comes to Krishna consciousness, it could be harmful because we can say like, oh, I should fast every day because that's the penance I should do. But that could really affect your physical health, right? Mm-hmm. Or like there's so many ways that one can speculate.
I like that you mentioned, Priya, mental speculation isn't just with the scriptures, but with anything in life. We can get so caught up in our own mental concoctions that it's like, whatever. Because like for the scriptures, I would imagine something like a mental speculation is the Gita is so precise in everything that we're part and parcel of Krishna. So we have a droplet of Krishna, but we're all individual and unique. And someone might think, ah, yes, we all have a soul, so we are one. It's like you blur the lines between, no, there's not everything is, everything goes and everything's so free flowing. There is a structure and order to mm-hmm. things that are set in motion. But like you say, there's also mental speculation in our own lives with interpreting everything. Emotions, yes. With everything.
Everything, yeah. Okay. It's like we overthink and like think about all these things that aren't true or what's going to happen in the future, what happens in the past. Like, oh, this the bad thing happened to me. Oh, Krishna must not love me. You know, like just coming to all of these foregone conclusions that are not based in reality or facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next part.
Oh, he who works for me.
So, right. And we've talked about that in so many ways as like karma yoga, transforming whatever action you do, tailoring it to Krishna. If you're not able to do direct devotional service and then working for Krishna directly, sure, direct devotional service, cleaning the temple, talking about Krishna, preaching, missions, whatever, things like that. So whatever it is that you're able to do, dedicate it to Krishna in some way or another.
Yeah, in the purport it says, no work should be done by any man except in relationship to Krishna. This is called Krishna karma.
Krishna karma.
Yeah, I saw that. And we talked about it before filming. Priya mentioned that. And I was like, yep, I saw that. And I'd never heard of Krishna karma. We talked about karma yoga, jnana yoga, this yoga, that yoga, and Krishna karma. Very
cool. Super excited to get into it more as we go.
Yeah.
Okay, can I say the one who has cultivated, like, so Krishna karma, right? One can cultivate a garden. Anyone who has land in India, at least a poor man, has a certain amount of land. He can utilize that for Krishna by growing flowers to offer to him.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna karma.
I love that.
Yeah. Other examples of Krishna karma that are here. So it says, activities like businesses can be transformed into Krishna consciousness by dedicating the results to Krishna. That would also be considered Krishna karma.
Mm.
Or like constructing temples, installing deities, and maintaining deity service are forms of Krishna karma. So like these are all kind of, there's like small ways and big ways in which you can perform Krishna karma. And it just means to center the results and the activities to make it about Krishna.
Absolutely. So just like repeat it again. What you're saying, it's like it's a twofold process because we might be engaged in so many different types of activities, but we shouldn't be attached to the results of our work, step one, and then step two. And the results of our work should then be offered to Krishna and we can accept the prasadam or the remnants of offerings to Krishna.
Mm. Like for instance, Shamla, you do a good job of this at school, right? Oh. When you teach your kids,
Thank you.
And you teach your kids and then you teach them about the Modern Yogi podcast, you know?
And then I get fired.
And then you almost get fired. You know, that would still be Krishna karma, right? If she's trying to teach the kids and tells them about the podcast and the podcast is all about this beautiful journey of understanding Krishna and they happen to listen to it and maybe it sparks something in them years from now.
Yeah.
That's Krishna karma.
I think that's Krishna karma, but I also think like Shamli just doing her job is Krishna karma too, because she's doing her dharma of having a job in this modern society, which we have to have.
And
then using the results of that, like her, first of all, her extra time to be part of this podcast, but also the money of that to go to Vrindavan and visit the holy dhams or like, so there's like so many ways in which Krishna karma can be, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you guys for the encouragement, like of swooping in just when I feel like I'm not doing enough. And you both are like, I'm like, yeah, I did do that, didn't I?
It's good to see it when your friends see your life from a third party perspective. Yeah.
But it's so true how you both are pointing out. And that's for all of us. Like, even if I weren't talking about Krishna, just straightforward, like doing your job, being detached from the results, just the very basics, you're doing Krishna karma. But then if you can take it an extra step and like, can you maybe talk to a coworker about something inspiring that's either directly or indirectly connected to Krishna or the kids? Can I share one little personal thing right here?
Yes.
I think I told you both. I know Priya, I mentioned this to you, I think earlier before recording that I had already finished everything that I had to do in the trimester and we were done with the final exams.
Hey, that's not a normal term. Trimester.
Oh, semester. Except we're divided into three sections. So basically,
yeah. And it is a normal term, but like for people who are like in education, it's not common to have trimesters. So I just wanted to put it out there.
Oh, so like that is true. Not her pregnancy trimester.
Exactly. I just wanted to clarify because I've been confused before.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I thought about the pregnancy trimester.
I'm not pregnant. I have like 300 students who are like my children. So
that's a lot of students.
It's a lot of kids. Yeah. I have 300 children. Yes, yes. So we were basically like a few weeks out from summer break and we had finished everything I wanted to do in the year. And I thought, know what? What can I share with these kids? Because especially I teach fifth to eighth grade. Eighth graders are about to graduate and I won't see them unless they come back to visit me. So I thought, what do I want to impart to them before they, you know, fly from the nest? So I basically transformed every class into like a mini TED talk. And I decided to like, it's a private Catholic school, so I can talk about God, unlike in maybe a public school where you can't really even say the word God. So I decided to have all of these talks, starting with, I showed them some clippets from the Modern Yogi podcast. I showed them different clippets from Keshav Swami, from my own spiritual master, talking about all these concepts of God and of how we can, so many different things, how I told them, you know, we're not material beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a material experience. And then all of these different reels from spiritual.
Yeah. How are you still employed at this job? Like, you're teaching this at Catholic school?
Well, there's one reel of Kadambakana Swami saying, you know, Martin Luther says the gospel was not just written in the books, but it was written in the trees, on the leaves. And I like that because it shows how the books are not the end goal, but the books are to get us to a feeling. So it's them talking about these universal God consciousness concepts,
nice,
you know?
Smart.
Yeah. And another one of Keshav Swami talking about purpose, how your purpose in this life is not just to become rich and famous, but if you become rich and famous, use that to how to make the world a better place, you know?
Ooh,
so
that's good.
That's what we were talking about here. So I show them little reels of all that. And actually the talk, and I don't want to wrap it up so we can wrap up chapter 11,
okay.
But basically one of the concepts of the talk was, I told them, you know, my role in your life has been a Spanish teacher up until now. But if you're going to take anything away from our time together, I hope you know that for me, the most important thing is your connection to God, your spiritual path, and the people you go on to become. And I said, even as I'm saying now, our connection to God, how many of us here have doubts of, is this all real? Is God even real? And they all started looking around the room and little one by one, all the little hands go in the air and they all have doubts. So we even started approaching it from a scientific perspective. And I showed them this incredible video, how it's this scientist explaining how it is logical to believe in a divine intelligence behind this because of the fine-tuning precision of the universe, the complexity of DNA, all these things. And a lot of kids who were previously thinking it's either you believe in science or spirituality had these pivotal epiphanies of like, oh my gosh, this can be all true, and science and spirituality can go hand in hand. And at the end of the classes, I had them all write little reflections. And I told Priya, there was this one kid in seventh grade, 12 years old, Leonardo. He asked me if he could have more time for his reflection. Sure enough, the next following week, I get an email that's like a few pages long.
Wow.
It blew me away. And he's talking about like, wow, all of these concepts. And he's quoting Kadambakana Maharaj, Keshav Swami, all these spiritual teachers. And he's like, they made me think this and that. And like, right, I've read the Bible already 3 times, but now I want to reread it and see how I can personally apply these things to my life. And thank you for dedicating this class time. I hope to continue learning about this more in eighth grade and that all of my classmates gained as much of this as I did. I so appreciate it. And he was like, and by the way, congratulations on all of the followers Modern Yogi podcast is gaining. I hope you continue to grow. And this little kid, I wouldn't be surprised if one day he becomes a priest. And it just made me think like, yeah, when you can connect to this, and even what Priya, you said, preaching and doing service is the most satisfying thing, because if anything from my time at the school, even seeing this little Leonardo's response to my talks made me feel like, this is what I love about teaching.
Oh,
this filled my heart, and he sent me 2 emails. They made my whole year. Like, the year was made, and I feel like my purpose in this school has been fulfilled.
Can we just slow clap? Like,
wow. I don't know if this will auditorily be good, but we're just
slow clapping for Shamali because that monologue was so beautiful, and just like the intention that you put into your kids and what they're learning and what their purpose should be in life and what they should question and what they should delve into is just so beautiful.
No one else is doing that.
Nobody.
And like that experience, I think most people have one or two teachers that they remember from the whole, you know, education, young education. And I think the teachers who care as much as you do are the ones that are remembered, and they are the ones that make a difference in kids' lives. So it's amazing that you, one, have the opportunity by being in already a religious school, and two, that you're taking the risk of sharing these things that are a little bit, you know, more than just spiritual. They're like so deeply connected to your philosophy and our philosophy of bhakti. So that's amazing.
The fact that you are putting your employment in jeopardy every single day to get these kids to connect to whatever version of God that they feel connected to is so commendable.
Thank you. I do make sure to bring up, like, I brought up the martyrs, the Catholic saints. But sure, then it's so easy to connect it to any spiritual path.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, it is everything.
It is everywhere.
So going back to Krishna karma, Shyamali has indicated in such a beautiful way that there is like a way to do this in your everyday life.
There's many ways, no matter
what job you're doing.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Yeah, as we said, the twofold. Number one, engage in whatever activity you're engaged to. But number one, don't be attached to the result of your work. And step two, okay, the results of your work should then be offered to Krishna. And we accept the prasadam or the remnants of our work as offerings to Krishna. Mm. Twofold.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Can I ask? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, you were talking about, you brought up preaching momentarily. And the first thing that came to mind is like, this is another way of, you know, Krishna devotional service, right? Preaching.
Right.
But when growing up, the term preaching felt to me pushy.
I hear you. Yeah.
It felt like I have to go out there and convince people that they have to hear me, or they have to read this, or they have to do this. And I never liked that. I am not by nature a salesperson in general.
No, tell me more.
but I always felt uncomfortable. And I think that it's really cool to see how you can preach, or maybe share is a better word, because I don't like the idea of pushing narratives on people or anything like that. Mm. I think it comes to people when they're looking for it, when they need it.
Yeah.
But to think of preaching as a sharing of the things that you're appreciating about Krishna, or appreciating about Krishna consciousness, and the fact that it can be done in so many different ways, the way you just demonstrated, right?
Right.
Like, you were just sharing about Krishna indirectly in some ways, even though you were sharing about Kadamba Kanana Maharaj and Keshava Maharaj. Like, it was like their words, but to what the kids needed to hear.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think, like, preaching, sharing, it can be seen. I know, like, at least from my generation, it was something that was really hard for a lot of people to connect to, like preaching and or maybe distributing books. It felt intimidating or like, oh my goodness. Right. But there's so many ways, and like, you just got to find the way that comes to you, and then, you know, do that.
Mm. I agree with you that I said, the word preaching, I normally shy away from that. I more say like sharing or whatever. I tried to find different words because it can feel pushy. And I did actually make sure to add to the kids at the end. I said, some of you might not feel this is so relatable to your lives right now. You're about to go to high school. That's an exciting social time. But maybe one day when you go through a rough patch, if you haven't already, hopefully some of this will stick, because the first wall we hit in life, maybe your first heartbreak that it feels like, oh, so devastating. As I said that, like, a lot of the guys turned around and looked at the girls that I knew they had crushes on. I was thinking, oh, Lordy.
Oh, Lordy.
But I was like, your first heartbreak, maybe you'll look at this as like something that can help you stay afloat instead of maybe drowning in the difficulty you're going through.
Oh my God. I wish I had you as an eighth grade teacher. It would have saved me some therapy. That would have been really nice.
I feel like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I would have understood it, but I actually do think I would have, because the way you presented it, even just now, feels really relatable.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was like a whole hour long class that we had time to dissect. I tried to give a real fast summary, but we sat with it.
That's awesome.
My question to you both was, because I shared a little bit about, like, okay, we talked about the twofold process of Krishna karma. Fun word. Mm. Engaging. Don't be attached to the results of your work, but okay, then offer the results to Krishna. So maybe through my teaching, I tried to, number one, not be attached to the result. And number two, I tried to somehow, with whatever extra time, connect it to Krishna or go the next step to share. How would you guys see that playing out in your lives? Is there something that, I know you talked about, Priya, your service, or maybe you
let's do it for each other, because we did it for you, Shyamali, right? So like, how does Priya do it in her life? Right. I think Priya does it in so many ways.
Yeah.
She does it in her voice. I think her voice has this. Her voice has this ability to transport people.
Absolutely.
To Krishna, like to a different realm. And like, you know, you also smile when, like, you smile kind of weird, not weird, but like you like smile,
extra
like
little smile.
So genuinely.
She squints her nose a little.
When you're doing kirtan, smile like from a place of like your soul when you're doing kirtan, and it's so beautiful because people can see that and feel it, you know what I mean? And so like, I just love how happy you are when you're doing kirtan, which is really sweet.
Well, even this podcast right now, meta moment, this wouldn't even be happening. Like, we wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for Priya's brainstorming ideas. And then she engaged all of us. Uh-huh. So that's kind of like, okay, you had this vision, you engaged us, but you're also kind of like hands off with how it would unfold. That's being detached from the fruits of your work. And then you're letting Krishna take over. So that's an example of how this Krishna karma is just carrying us.
Yeah. And all of the service that you do behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, like just with garland, just with
your... I think that's enough.
But this is important. No, I think it's because it's not even about you. Relax, people like Priya, to hear relax. Examples. It's not even about you. It's about how Krishna karma can be in people's lives, right?
Absolutely.
And so relax. It's not about you, but it is actually about you.
Priya could have decided to do a podcast on anything else, but she decided, let's talk about Krishna.
It could have been
The Gita.
It could have been a podcast on hamsters and she'd be like, all right, let's do it. And I'd be like, nobody wants to do that with you, Priya. But she made it about something that don't even like. We were both really passionate about.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not your time to talk. Okay? Anything else? How else?
I think that's a nice...
Yeah. Is there anything that we missed? Nice now one. You can talk, Priya.
How do you see it in your life?
I feel overwhelmed by everything that was just said. So let me process the question again. So Krishna karma is the concept of sort of like karma yoga. So you're doing your duty without attachment for the result, but then you're also adding the Krishna aspect to it. Yes.
Right. Yes. Right.
Okay. How do I do this? Oh, no. How do you do this? What are we saying?
Yeah. How do you see this in your life?
Mm. Do we miss anything, basically?
We shared what we think, but how do you see it?
Do you do anything in secret that we don't know of that you want to share with the public?
Honestly, I feel like you guys put me on the spot in my brain. It's not working.
Okay,
in the moment.
Do me then. Do me. Okay. Do me.
What?
You know what popped into my head? Shama is a very talented speaker. She's a professional comedian and a very talented speaker. So I think if Shama were not doing Krishna karma, you could totally use your natural speaking abilities and charm to just build yourself up further and further and just further your career. But I've noticed that we've done like maybe small little talks with the Modern Yogi, and I've noticed you make a point after every talk to really connect to the people, ask about them, try to fit Krishna in. So you're constantly bringing Krishna at the forefront of whatever you do. So you're working to engage your natural talents to not just further yourself, but to bring Krishna to the forefront and connect with people. You're using it in such a beautiful way. That to me is total Krishna karma. And even in your own comedy specials, you always find a way to bring in a subtle message and uplift people. You throw in a little nugget to leave them thinking, you know?
This is very uncomfortable. I'm sorry, Priya.
thank you, Shabali. I didn't know if you were like constipated or you were enjoying what I was saying.
That was really beautiful. Thank you, Shabali. But I understand how you were feeling.
It's really hard really nice. And it puts you into like a, oh.
I was like, no, don't look at me. All right. Anything else from this report?
Okay. Well,
I was going to say something silly, but I think like just... me existing is a little bit Krishna karma, and this is gonna sound
really
weird.
Say it, do it.
But like, because I'm Hispanic,
okay,
and my name, okay, so my name's obviously my legal name is not Priyadarshini, but even then, my legal name is Hari Prana, which is an Indian, it's a devotional name, and so in almost every job I've had, people are confused because even though I look a little Indian, I speak Spanish.
Right.
When I first met you, I thought you were 100% Indian. Actually.
I know. It's weird. I don't look. Anyways. So when I meet people, they're confused and they ask me about my name. And then I have to explain about Krishna. So like actually it's my parents' doing, but it's like Krishna comes up all the time just by my name because my name is Hari. Mm-hmm. And like, that's like, you know, and so, it can be so simple. It doesn't have to be so complicated.
And I think absolutely. That's why it's like important in like ISKCON and like Hare Krishna tradition is like when you reach that level of initiation, people get their name changed. And I think that's a part of it is like understanding that everything is Krishna and like your name being a devotional name is to remind you of your position and who you are and also remind you of Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when people don't ask, how do you spell your name? Funny you ask about my name. Let me tell you, it's a name connected to Krishna.
Do you know God?
Right. And the person's like, no, bye. Stop.
And you know what's really cool? A few times the people that I worked with in Texas, which mind you, Texas is a very
like
conservative, non, like very it's not like...
not super open to all these different things.
Right. A lot of people actually that I talked to had either heard of the Hare Krishnas before.
Ooh.
And one person that I worked with had met Prabhupada.
Oh my God.
And like, what are the chances of that? And like, he said he didn't meet him personally, but he was like in New York or something when he was there and saw the Hare Krishnas and saw Srila Prabhupada back in the day.
Wow.
And like,
then he was talking
him.
To you.
And he was not like a spiritual person per se, but like then he met me. I said, my name is, you know, Hari Prana. And like, it's crazy how it all connects, right? When you have Krishna in your life, it all kind of comes together.
Wow.
So
that is wild.
Beautiful.
Wow.
It's amazing.
All right. Anything else?
Well, a couple of things.
I mean, there's just a few things because we
just haven't talked.
Okay. So the next big thing that is highlighted is Mat Parama.
Can I say one thing to just frame this whole, because we're reading right now the final text of chapter 11, text 55. And just the beginning of the purport before we continue on.
Oh,
it just
was
really nice. It says, anyone who wants to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead on the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the Supreme Personality must take this formula that we just read in the text as stated by the Supreme himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. Hmm. And we all commented on that before saying, wow, ladies, we're about to read the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, I feel we've said that a few times with different verses.
This is But the essence is always the same thing. It's all about love and devotion.
Thank you for bringing it home. Yes. I was going to say, what is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita?
I mean, and if we read the text one more time, I know we've read it a couple of times. It'll remind us, right? So, my dear Arjuna, he who engages, I'm just going to list it as a list. So, the person who engages in pure devotional service is free from the contamination of fruitive activities, mental speculation. He works for Krishna, makes Krishna the supreme goal of his life or her life.
Mm-hmm.
Who is friendly to everyone, he can attain Krishna. Krishna. So it's the same thing all the time. Devotional service, not getting attached to fruitive activities.
Totally.
Not being mean to people.
Being nice and making Krishna the goal of your life. And that's why we're always saying like, this verse is the essence because we've talked about this before in other verses,
right? Absolutely. Yeah, and Prabhupada really reiterates, the Bhagavad Gita is basically a book directed to who? To the conditioned souls who are engaged in this material world with the purpose to lord over this nature for my own self and who don't know the real spiritual life. So it's meant to show us how we can understand our existence, our spiritual existence, and our eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality and how to basically go back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada just really brings it home by saying, here in this verse, it explains the process by which we can attain the pure connection to Krishna, and that is devotional service.
Love that.
I love that. Indrajim Maharaj, he always says, back home, back to Godhead.
Mm.
Like, it's like something he always says, and now it's been on my mind recently because we also saw him recently, and now I'm seeing that Prabhupada says that all often as well.
Back home, back to Godhead.
And I love that. That's just like, it's such a sweet pool. Right? Like it's like a, that's where we belong. Back home, back to Godhead.
Oh, it's kind of like the phrase in The Wizard of Oz. I want to go home. I just want to go home.
Get off of like a long haul flight from LAX and stuff? And you're like, oh man, I'm so happy to be home.
Oh my God, every
but
time.
But like imagine that feeling times 100, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's the craving.
And that feeling. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, can't wait to understand that feeling even more.
Yep.
Well, Priya, you were about to bring up the next kind of important bullet point, right?
Yes.
Of the purport.
Mat.
So Mat Parama. So it refers to those who consider association with Krishna in his supreme abode the highest perfection.
Mm.
Such devotees are not attracted to higher planets or merging into the Brahmayoti effulgence. They seek Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan.
So this person knows that like Krishna and like getting to Krishna is the goal of their life.
Yeah.
Right. Because Prabhupada says he has full knowledge of that planet, of Krishna Loka. And therefore, we're not interested in any other planet. It's like once you know what's the highest, why shoot for something else?
And some people might be saying like, why would anyone consider other planets? Well, because higher planets, other planets, and I'm not saying higher planets than Goloka Vrindavan, but higher planets than where we are now,
right?
They are meant for enjoyment.
Yeah.
They're places where people don't have to suffer. You don't have to be born. You don't
Absolutely.
Have to have disease or death. Also, but only for a limited time. It's not permanent.
Right.
The difference between these other planets, higher planets, it's like there's less of these difficulties, right? Less right. of the suffering and the sickness. And it's more about the enjoyment, but it's limited. And whereas Goloka Vrindavan is like eternal bliss.
Right. Mm. And these higher planets you talk about, you go to there when you get good karma, that okay, you ascend to these higher planets, but you're still in what we call always the rat race of birth and death.
Going up and down, up and down. Yep.
And this might all feel like lofty stuff. How does this actually apply to our day-to-day life? The way I see it is that this just to me means, okay, obviously the goal of this life is not just happiness. So whenever we go through difficult moments, it's okay, because the goal of this life is to grow, evolve, connect to Krishna, and then we leave. We want to get out of here and go to Goloka Vrindavan. The goal isn't to be happy and get all this good karma and go to a heavenly planet and just enjoy. Right. So when you go through hard moments, if the goal was only to be happy in this world, how depressing that would truly be, that outlook.
Yeah.
There's so much more than that.
Yeah.
So this person, if this person is really like considering the association of Krishna to be the highest perfection of life, what does this person do? Mm. In the purport, it says he fully engages in devotional service, specifically in the 9 processes of devotional engagement.
Nice. Which is?
Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering prayers, carrying out the orders of the Lord, making friends with him, and surrendering everything to him. Mm. This is important, okay? Yeah. This last line, very, very important. Okay, you ready for this, guys?
Ready.
One can engage in all 9 devotional processes, or 8, or 7, or at least 1, and that will surely make one perfect.
I love that.
Loophole. I literally said loophole as you guys were saying. Honeyball for the loophole.
Yeah. That to me was so cute because Prabhupada wrote that. Those are Prabhupada's words, and it's just so sweet. It's like, at least do one. Can you do one of these?
Yeah. And at least doing one can make you perfect, right? So if you do any of those 9 things, even with love and devotion, even one of them, it can make your life perfect.
Yeah. So sweet. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, Prabhupada, for giving us these lifelines.
And loopholes. Yes. All right.
All right. Now, the next little part that I have here is talking about...
Sangha?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. Sangha Vadichittaha. I'm going to guess I'll tell you. It says that one should avoid association with those against Krishna. Mm. Or addicted to fruitive activities and mental speculation.
Mm.
Why do you think that is?
Ooh, your character is defined by the 5 people that you associate with, right?
Absolutely.
If all of your friends are, you know, are hamster breeders, you're also going to be a hamster breeder,
what
right?
What in the world?
Your brain.
If all of your friends are doing cocaine, you're probably going to end up doing cocaine or hamster breeding while doing cocaine.
How about we say more normal things?
Just say it. You are the association that you keep.
Absolutely. Yeah. Prabhupada would say, you tell me who you spend your time with and I'll tell you who you are.
Mm. Mm. Yep.
This might sound extreme and you may think, I don't want to cut out then everybody in my life. You don't have to, but there's a difference with giving your association and taking in their association. So like if people you care about in your life aren't so fully committed to evolving and working on themselves, that's okay. You can give them your care and your association, but just be careful of taking in all of their habits and quote unquote association. What are you laughing about?
Sorry, I was just thinking about
hamster breeding.
Yeah.
I knew it.
While doing cocaine. <You're> so Sorry. I should have kept that to myself.
And this is the moment that my student tuned in to listen to the Modern Yogi podcast.
Oh my goodness.
Could you imagine? That's so funny.
God.
That would be really
funny. That's funny.
Yeah, I also think that the way that it's phrased, it's also like anyone who's against Krishna or addicted to fruitive activities, right? So it's like...
people who are really attached to Maya and like getting the results of that. Like if you're friends with someone who's like a super workaholic, who's always just chasing the next best thing, right? And who's always like chasing the promotions and the money and the whatever, like there's going to be a small inclination inside you to also want those things.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also says here in relation to the Sangha Vajitha, that pure devotional service is free from material contamination and unwanted associations. And I actually, something came up in my mind. I don't know if I should share, but.
Go for
like
it.
Always. I do.
Clearly.
We know.
Don't worry. We know.
I think it's important that understanding like, okay, if we're trying to not associate with people who are against Krishna or addicted to furtive activities, and we might be like, oh, well, we can engage with them in pure devotional service because it's like, it doesn't have any contamination. And it, like, I think I'm losing my train of thought. Basically, if you associate with devotees who are working towards the same path as you are,
right,
then you will align with those things more. Like we say all the time, the fact that we're here together, we're reading this together, understanding it together, only gets us more connected to Krishna.
Totally.
And that's because we found like-minded people who are interested in understanding better and working together to get closer to Krishna, right?
Right.
So that's kind of the gist of this. It's like, find people who match your who you are trying to be, mm-hmm, or who you want to be, or yep, who you are, and that fit your nature and help you get closer to Krishna.
Totally, totally. Because if not, it's like you're swimming against a current, doing it alone, if everyone around you is not like-minded.
Right.
Yeah, and we've said before, if you're not in a community of devotees, it's okay. There's so many things online. Like, we've met people who listen to the Modern Yogi podcast who have bought themselves their first Gita and follow along with us and got their spouses or friends to do it. Create that little community around you then.
Yes, it's huge.
Nice.
Okay, the next big point I want to bring up, and you guys can add to it, is it talks about devotional service, like examples of devotional service. Mm-hmm. And it's talking about how there's been a few people historically who have risked their lives for spreading Krishna consciousness, such as Jesus Christ, Thakur Haridas, and Prahlad Maharaj. Now, I don't know how much we want to get into these stories.
Can I frame that? And I think it would be fun to get into the story. Just the few lines before that even says why it's bringing it up.
Yes.
Because it says, a devotee of Krishna is friendly to everyone. Therefore, it is said that he has no enemy. And how is this? That's because a devotee situated in Krishna consciousness knows that this is really the only way, the only path that we can fully be relieved from all of this world's problems. And life is heavy. Life is rough. And devotees of Krishna, we have personal experience with this. And I mean, any human being has personal experience with this. That's why they want to introduce this system, this Krishna consciousness, into human society. And that's where it kicks in, Priya, what you're bringing up, those examples of devotees in history who have risked their lives for spreading God consciousness. And I just think it's so sweet how Prabhupada writes, the favorite example is Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, this is a good place for your students to tune into the podcast.
Ah, the favorite example is Lord Jesus Christ, said Shyamali Mujan, who works at a private Catholic school.
Hare Krishna. Yo, save your employment, girl. Do whatever you need to do. Do whatever you need to do. Just keep your job.
Very nice. Thank you. Thank you.
I love Lord Jesus Christ.
I love.
How about you?
I love Lord Jesus Christ.
No way, I love George.
You're like George Jeebus Christ. That was great.
Get your facts together, ma'am.
And we're not saying that sarcastically. It's just funny because I'm risking my job.
Okay, tell us about Jesus Christ and why he is someone who risked his life to spread God consciousness.
Let's do it.
Ooh, okay, well, Prabhupada says he's a favorite because he was crucified by the non-devotees. I love how Prabhupada also calls them devotees and non-devotees because it doesn't just mean a devotee of Krishna. Because Krishna is God. So any form of God you worship, you're a devotee.
Yeah.
So he was crucified by non-devotees, but he sacrificed his life for spreading God consciousness. Of course, Prabhupada says it would be superficial to understand that he was killed. That's such a deep statement because, Prabhupada's saying, isn't there a phrase that he who says a devotee, how is it? What is the phrase?
Thou shalt not kill a devotee, I know what you're talking about.
He blasphemes who says a devotee perishes or something like that.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Something like that.
So basically a devotee, a pure devotee is eternal. He lives on forever. So Prabhupada's saying Jesus Christ was never actually killed. He came here on a mission, did his mission and went back to Krishna. He's an eternal associate of the Lord, of his father. So Prabhupada says, similarly, in India, there are many examples such as Thakur Haridas, Prahlad Maharaj. And why such risk? Because they just wanted to spread Krishna consciousness, and it's difficult. And a Krishna conscious person knows that if a man is suffering, it's due to his forgetfulness of his eternal relationship with Krishna.
Ooh.
And Krishna really rewards this
preaching or this service that these pure devotees are doing, because Prabhupada says we can imagine how merciful Krishna is to those engaging in his service and risk everything for him.
And if any of Shyamali's students are listening, Prabhupada always used to say that it's okay like to have other names of God. Like it's okay. Our job is to develop a relationship with God, whatever you want to call them. And if they're Christian, then encourage them to be a good Christian. If they're Jewish, encourage them to be a good Jewish person. You know what I mean? And so just want to make that clear.
Yes.
For Shyamali's employment.
Absolutely. Thank you, girl. I love
I got you, girl.
Thank you. And if you haven't heard the stories of Thakur Haridas or Prahlad Maharaj, go check them out. You can just look on Vedavesa. What is the... It's not that com.
Vedavesa.io.
I-O.
Yeah.
Something different. Yeah. And you can learn more about them. And and just to add one more thing about devotional service, it says, devotees know that suffering arises from forgetfulness of one's relationship with Krishna and aim to relieve others from material problems through Krishna consciousness.
Can you repeat that first sentence? Yes. Because that first sentence is so powerful.
Yeah.
Devotees know that suffering arises from forgetfulness of one's relationship with Krishna.
Oof. Because literally every sad day that we have, every negative emotion, everything that we're going through, we feel the intensity of that negative emotion and that sadness because we forget what our purpose is.
Yes.
But the moment we remember what our purpose is, I think that just eases away.
Oh, you know? Beautiful. That's almost like a roadmap of like, if you're feeling depressed, desolate, you're disconnected, and find what's the disconnection in your life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You may also be feeling sort of an identity crisis. And then when you remember who you are in relationship to Krishna, it also like reminds you of your identity and like,
beautiful.
And you know, connecting with, I just love that he brings up Jesus Christ here, because as Shama said, Prabhupada talks about the Bhagavad Gita is not a religion. It's a spiritual science that you can apply to any path you're on to further your relationship with God. So you can be any religion and use this to connect to God. And that's so beautiful.
Amazing, guys.
Anything else before we wrap up? Before we wrap up chapter 11?
Chapter 11, guys. Charlie,
I know you have something. Go ahead.
I want to say one more thing.
Do it.
Yes, thank you. I love the ending of Prabhupada's purport, that it says in the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that those who are attached to the Shama Sundar form of Krishna in love and devotion can see him always within the heart and cannot see anything else. One should understand, therefore, that the purport of this 11th chapter is that the form of Krishna is essential and supreme. Beautiful.
That is so amazing.
Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the...
Universal form.
Dun, dun, dun. Amazing. Thank you so much for sticking around. We will join you next time. And please join us next time for chapter 12.
See you next time.
Boom. Bye. Boom.
Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.